The book of Colossians is like many of Paul's letters. As Paul closes this book, he sends greetings from certain brethren that are with him, and he names those individuals. He also sends special greetings to certain people in the Colossian church, and he names those persons as well. Many times, as people read through the epistles, they go very quickly through and read very hurriedly through the list of names that Paul gives at the end of these books. And that is a tragic mistake, because there are many great lessons found in this material, and you also find that there are some very interesting points that Paul makes. In fact, you'll find that there's information in those closing comments about those individuals that you won't find anywhere else in the Bible, and also you will find information that will help you to understand certain other verses in the Bible, and that will help you to appreciate certain passages that you have perhaps read before. And we're going to see some of those examples today. We're beginning today in Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. And we're going to see some very practical and encouraging lessons from these men that Paul mentions in these verses. The first man that we're going to look at is Tychicus. We read about him in Colossians 4, verse 7 and 8. Paul said, "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts." Now notice in verse 7 what Paul says about the kind of man that Tychicus was. In the first place, he says he is beloved. So Paul and other brethren loved this man. He is a beloved brother. So he's a brother in Christ, and he had that special relationship with Paul and all these other Christians. He says that he is faithful. That is, he is loyal, he is dependable, and he is dependable as a minister. So he was a servant of God, and he is, Paul says, a fellow servant. That means that he worked with Paul. He worked side by side and in conjunction with the Apostle Paul. So you have all these great things said about this man in verse 7. And notice that Paul had a special mission for this man. In verse 8, he said, "Whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts." So Paul said that he was sending this man, Tychicus, to the church at Colossae for two reasons. Number one, to tell them how Paul was doing. Look at verse 7 again. "All my state, that is all my condition, my situation, shall Tychicus declare unto you." So Paul says, I'm sending him to the church there so that you will know how I'm doing. But also, he says, I'm sending Tychicus to you to see how you're doing. In verse 8, he says, I've sent him to you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate. That is, to see how you're doing, spiritually speaking, and to comfort your hearts. That is, to encourage you. So this man, Tychicus, was a man who worked with and helped the Apostle Paul. He's mentioned several times in the New Testament. In Ephesians 6, verse 21, he basically has the same objective or the same mission, that is, to go to the church at Ephesus. And many believe that he carried the epistle to the Ephesians and the epistle to the Colossians, and that seems to be reasonable and probably so. But you're also going to find a note at the end of some translations, I should say at the end of some editions of some translations of the Bible, at the end of the book of Ephesians and Colossians. And that note will say something like this. I'm looking at what one edition of the Bible says after the end of the book of Ephesians and after the end of the book of Colossians. After the book of Ephesians, this note says in this edition of the Bible, written from Rome unto the Ephesians by Tychicus. And then at the end of the book of Colossians, you have this note as well in this edition of the Bible that I'm looking at. Now again, let me make the distinction here between a translation and an edition of that translation, because these citations that I'm giving are from a King James Version edition of the Bible. In other words, the editors, the publishers of that King James Version added this after the text of Colossians, which says, written from Rome to the Colossians by Tychicus and Onesimus. And what we need to remember about those notes is that those comments are not part of the Bible. Those are like the marginal reference notes and the parallel passages and the other notes, footnotes, and marginal notes that you have in many editions of the Bible. Those are put there by the editors. They're put there in that particular edition of the Bible to help us. Sometimes they're valuable, sometimes they're helpful because they're right, but sometimes they're simply human opinions. Sometimes they're mere conjectures and speculation, and sometimes they're just wrong. There's no indication in the Bible itself that Tychicus wrote either the book of Ephesians or Colossians. And so remember that if you have that note at the end of Ephesians or the end of Colossians, that men put that note in there and not God. Now, it is true that Paul sometimes used men to help him to write, to compose the letter that he was writing. Now, the Holy Spirit oversaw the whole matter. The Holy Spirit supervised what was written. But as far as the human hand was concerned, sometimes Paul did use a helping hand in that sense, because in Romans 16, verse 22, we find that he used a man by the name of Tertius to write that epistle. But when you come to the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians, you don't find any indication at all that Paul said anything about that. So that is simply a mere human opinion. Now then, let's go on to the second person that Paul mentions here, and that is Onesimus. Verse 9. With Onesimus. Now, that's a carryover from verse 8, and that simply means that Paul sent Tychicus with Onesimus. So, he sent both of these brethren to the church at Colossae. And notice what he says about Onesimus. He says that he is a faithful and beloved brother. So, he is faithful, he is well-loved, and he is a brother in Christ. And then he says, who is one of you? That is, he is one of the members of the church at Colossae. Look down at verse 12, and you'll see another man who was one of the members there. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ. Now, the story about this man Onesimus in verse 9 is in the short book of Philemon. He was a runaway servant, and Paul met him in prison and converted him, and then Paul sent him back to his master, Philemon. Now, before, Onesimus was a runaway bondservant, and Paul says in the book of Philemon that he was unprofitable to his master, but now, after he'd been baptized, Paul said he is profitable to his master and to Paul both. That's what we read in the book of Philemon. And here he says that he is faithful. So before he was converted, Onesimus was unprofitable, but now he is faithful and he is profitable. Now there's a practical lesson here, and that is that Paul was a fair man. If a person had changed his life, Paul did not hold his past against him. He gave him a chance. And how could Paul do otherwise when you think about it? Because Paul was in the same situation himself. In fact, when Paul was first converted, there were some brethren who questioned his conversion. You read about that in Acts chapter 9. And that was until, of course, Barnabas spoke up for him in Acts chapter 9, verses 22 and following. And so what we're going to see is that in the next verse, Paul is going to mention another man that made some mistakes as a Christian, and yet evidently he was doing better, and Paul commends him. So let's go on to verse 10, and here we're going to read about Aristarchus, and especially about a man by the name of Marcus, that is Mark. In verse 10, he says, "Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him." Now, the first man that he mentions is Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner. So this man was a prisoner with the Apostle Paul. And then he mentions this man, Marcus. He says Marcus is sister's son to Barnabas. Now, this man is sometimes called in the Bible John or Mark, or John Mark, we sometimes call him, sometimes simply Mark. Now, Mark is the one that went with Paul and Barnabas on their first trip to preach the gospel. Sometimes people call it the first missionary journey. But after a while, after he had worked with them and traveled with them for some time, he quit and he went back. That's what the Bible says in Acts chapter 13, verse 13. So he just left the work and went back to what he was doing. Now later, when Paul and Barnabas decided to go on another trip, Barnabas wanted to take Mark again, but Paul said no. And Paul and Barnabas got into a heated argument, and they actually parted ways over this. Now Colossians chapter 4, verse 10 tells us something about this conflict, and that is that John Mark was Barnabas' cousin. The word here, sister's son to Barnabas, is from one word in the original, which simply means a relative, a cousin. So John Mark was related to Barnabas, and it's no wonder then that Barnabas wanted to take him, that he wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt and even overlook perhaps some of the weaknesses that he had. But here's the point and the lesson that we see in Colossians chapter 4, verse 10. Paul didn't hold a grudge against Barnabas or Mark. In fact, he tells the church to welcome him. And he reminds them that they had been given instructions regarding this man, Mark. And he commends him as a good worker in the Lord in the very next verse. So here we find in Colossians chapter 4, verse 10, that Paul has a different opinion of Mark simply because Mark has changed. Evidently, Mark has grown. He's doing better now, and Paul recognizes that. So Paul doesn't hold his past against him because this young man is doing better. He has grown, and he is now a good worker in the church. Before, he left the work right in the middle of the preaching of the gospel and in their travels. But now Paul says he's dependable, he's faithful, and he's a good worker in the church. So people can change. They can learn to do better in the church. John Mark certainly did, and Paul commends him for that here in Colossians chapter 4. You see, back in Acts chapter 15, Paul did not have confidence that John Mark would be reliable, that he would be dependable on that missionary trip. But Colossians is years later, and now Paul does have confidence in him. As a matter of fact, he compliments him in verses 10 and 11. So John Mark has changed. He has grown. And there's a great lesson in this for us, and that is we need to give things time. We need to give people time. We need to be patient. And when people do change, we need to be fair. We don't need to go back to their past and remind them of something that they have done wrong or hold against them something that they did wrong or failed to do that was right. If they've changed, if they've grown and matured, then we need to acknowledge that and we need to commend those people just like the Apostle Paul did here with John Mark.